Welcome back to Dakota Midday from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. We're hearing a little bit of music from Sioux Falls guitarist Jesse Christen. That's music from the title track of his new CD. It's called Gate of Charity. The CD is part of his effort to, as he says, make the cosmos a better place through the power of music. Christen was a member of the Sneakies, a band that played at the old Pomp Room in Sioux Falls, and more recently, guitarist with the Blues Bashers, a group that's played at the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Festival and featured on SDPB's No Cover, No Minimum Radio. He joins us from our studios at the University of Sioux Falls. And Jesse, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hey, it's great to be here, Carl.
Is there any significance to the title of the new CD, Gate of Charity?
Oh, it's a long story. And it has to do with that track you were just playing. But first, before we get going, I feel honored to follow a segment on Tom Laughlin because I'm a huge Billy Jack fan. I'm a massive fan of 60s and 70s drive-in type movies, yeah. And I've seen most of them, so I'm really glad to be here right now.
What did you? Well, as long as we're talking about that, what did you like about those Billy Jack movies?
Oh, he beats up the forces of kind of redneck oppression, and if anybody who's grown up in South Dakota and is probably somewhat artistic can probably relate to that. We all probably wish we had a Billy Jack in our lives at some point of time.
Now, that culture from the 60s and 70s, is that has that had any sort of impact or influence on your music or what you're interested in?
Oh, probably a huge impact on my music because I was born in the early 70s, and you know, most of the music, the things that made me get really interested into with playing guitar in the first place, the one I always point to is hearing Jumpin' Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones, but you know, seeing like the original Woodstock movie and seeing Jimi Hendrix and The Who. And my parents were of that generation, so that's what really got me started and really made me want to play the electric guitar.
So it was the music that came along before you were born?
Yep. Yeah, before I was born, and was probably coming out right around the time I was born.
So is this did you grow up with this music then, that you heard Jimi Hendrix? Was this something that your parents played?
Oh, yeah. My dad was a huge fan, and he liked that stuff, and he liked a lot of the, I guess, Chicago blues guys, and some of like the more avant-garde jazz stuff. He was lucky when he was young. He got to see people like, I know he saw Thelonious Monk and Charlie Mingus Live and things like that. So I was cultured from a young age.
Sometimes it seems like younger people want to reject the music of their parents, but that wasn't the case in your upbringing and when you were growing up?
Oh, of course. I mean, everybody goes through that phase where you want to, you know, something that's like here and happening now, that you can feel like is yours and that you're a part of. And I went through that phase too. And for me, it was like heavy metal and then punk rock a lot when I was younger. But I was probably a poor punk rocker because I'm too musically ambitious.
Where did those, just because you wanted to try to emulate Jimi Hendrix and the Stones and people like that?
Yeah, I guess I just became obsessed with the instrument and just kept playing and playing. And the more you play, usually the more, you know, I went back and found a lot of the stuff I liked when I was, you know, really little. And that influenced me a lot, like for lack of a better word, the psychedelic rock, and then, you know, the stuff even before that, like the old blues players, and you know, now, I mean, I listen to a lot of like jazz now, you know, a lot of the stuff they call like jazz fusion, you know, the more kind of rock, loud guitar jazz, and then I love a lot of like bebop jazz, you know, the Charlie Parkers and John Coltranes and all that stuff too, and I guess I try with my music to incorporate elements of all of that, and I hope I'm at least moderately successful at it.
Do you remember your first guitar, or when you first got your first guitar?
Oh, talk about a huge disappointment. It was an acoustic guitar.
Oh, you couldn't make that noise.
It didn't sound like an electric guitar. That was a sad day. But it sat in the closet for probably a year and a half, and then I finally started to learn to play it.
What got you to start to play the acoustic guitar?
I think it was around, and you know, probably I mean, I think I got old enough to where I think I was right around 12, right at the start of seventh grade, that I started messing around with the guitar. And it all started because where I grew up in Huron, and there wasn't really a teacher in town at the time. And there was someone who lived across the street from a friend of mine who said, "All right, you can play this song. All you got to do is put this finger on this fret of this string and then this one here and then hit them both together." And I had taken piano lessons and stuff before that. So with the few, I emphasize very few things I learned that way, I was able to figure out how to move it up and down the neck of the guitar, because understanding how it was laid out was pretty quick, came pretty quick. So I got to thank my parents for forcing me to take piano lessons. It did pay off in the end.
Now, the new CD, Gate of Charity, when we got started talking, I asked you if there was any significance to the title. You said it was a long story, and then we went to start talking about Billy Jack and Tom Laughlin. But what is the story behind the title?
All right, well, it's like this. The title track, Gate of Charity, what you played when we were coming in, was kind of the second half. Kind of has a Latin feel. And the first half has kind of a Middle Eastern-sounding vibe. And I think when we finally recorded that one, it was sometime last spring, around the time when, you know, our beautiful winter, which was very nice winter last year, and then our spring was terrible. When we were getting into the spring, we had those ice storms, mm-hmm. and it was abnormally cold. And I wrote that song, and I remember, here's another plug for South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I went home one night, and they had Rick Steves, one of his Europe travel shows. And he was in Spain, and he was went to the Rock of Gibraltar, and, you know, on the other side is Morocco and through the Strait of Gibraltar. And I thought, that's interesting. On one side we have North Africa, kind of the Middle East. The other side is Spain, the Latin thing. So I thought, well, and I was, of course, dreaming about being someplace, you know, beautiful and warm, which I'm sure it was there at that time. I thought, well, why don't we name this song after something having to do with the Strait of Gibraltar, that area? And thanks to modern technology and smartphones, I pulled up Wikipedia. And this is not according to Wikipedia. If this is wrong, I can't. Don't blame me. Blame what they're putting on the internets these days. It said that one of the Arabic names for the Strait of Gibraltar is the Gate of Charity, or it was Bab el-Ghazat, if I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not up on my Arabic. So.
Close enough.
But yeah, that's where we got the title from, and that's the only one song on the album that has a great story like that.
Well, we've got another track from the CD, Gate of Charity, queued up. Let's listen to a little bit of Prophecy. That's a little bit of Prophecy from guitarist Jesse Christian. It comes from his new album called Gate of Charity. Came out a couple of months back. Who's playing with you there?
Who's playing with me? I got a guy from Sioux Falls here. Actually, two guys from Sioux Falls with me. But I got a guy named Tom McGovern who played bass, who I had played with just some gigs and stuff a number of years back. And I just always know him and was friends with around town. And he kind of came in because the drummer, this guy named Carl Holloman, and I got to give him a lot of credit, because without him, this would have never happened. Because it was his studio, and he's like the guy who did all the mixing and he made it sound good. He did a really good job on that and played drums on it too. So I almost feel like maybe his name should be bigger on the album. rather than just mine.
Now, as listeners maybe noticed on Prophecy and even on Gate of Charity, we heard a little bit of that earlier. There's a strong groove underneath these songs. Is that how they developed? You just got together and maybe came up with a nice riff and just kind of went from there? Or was there something else going on in the way these songs were composed?
Kind of. I have a few like that, some that just kind of came out of stuff that we were, you know, and like this thing started, we were just getting together, goofing off and jamming around. You know, a lot of them I'd have an idea, you know, maybe like a chord progression or a melody or something. And I always wanted to kind of keep it fresh. So I don't like it when you spend way too much time rehearsing on something, because it just gets stale and you lose that edge. You know, I always think of like anybody who wants to see this at work, there's a movie called Straight No Chaser. It's a documentary about Thelonious Monk and has all this old archival footage, and it shows him in the studio and like, and they interview the people that he play with, and they're like, well, there really was no rehearsal. You'd show up and you'd say, we're going to play this, and you get it in a couple takes, and if you didn't, you'd move on. And that's kind of how I like to work too.
Just that creates sort of a looseness on the CD. You think that, like as you mentioned, the freshness, because you didn't over rehearse. You just let it naturally come together. The music.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you rehearse too much, it ceases to have that improvisational aspect.
Now, you've played in the band Blues Bashers, and the drummer in that band, a veteran who played with, I think, Tommy Bolin, some other people, Bobby Berge. Even though he's a drummer, you mentioned Carl Holloman, the drummer on this record, but I'm wondering what you've learned from Bobby Berge.
Oh, I learned a ton from playing with Bobby, because he's another one that... Not going to be a lot of rehearsals involved, and he's just one of the people that I've been blessed with to have played in my life and really got me on the ball as far as, you know, learning to always be on top of, I guess, counting, because, you know, the easiest thing in music is you'd think about would be just to count, you know, count the mm-hmm. measures, how many measures in this form. Well, if you play... Being a guitar player, you'd learn, like, all right, you put this part with this part, and you might not always be so conscious about, like, always knowing, like, what beat you are and what measure. And I guess he really, him giving me dirty looks and pointing the drumstick at me, made me really get on top of that.
How important is it for you as a musician to have not only someone like Bobby Berge to you know help you develop as a musician, but also to have people that you just have fun playing with?
Oh, I guess it's what I live for.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to play music. If I were wiser, I would have chose a more lucrative hobby/profession, but. I guess it's just what I do. I mean, it's what I've always wanted to do, and I'll probably always continue to do as long as I can.
As I mentioned at the top of our interview here, that you wrote that you know, you hope to make the cosmos a better place with the power of music. How do you think that happens? We only have like about a minute or two here.
No problem. It's just hopefully a positive energy, given something that someone else might enjoy. As much, even if they enjoyed a fraction of some of the music that I've listened to, hopefully it'll make them happier, have a better day, make the world a better place.
Do you, the CD Gate of Charity, mostly instrumental rock, and putting this together, did you keep in mind that maybe some listeners that aren't in tune to instrumental music, that maybe there's something you needed to do to keep it interesting for them?
Hopefully there's some strong melodies that'll keep it interesting. Yeah, I tried to keep, you know, strong melodies. I tried to keep stuff, you know, somewhat to the point. There's no 25-minute songs or anything like mm-hmm. that.
They're tight.
And if we're just about out of time, I would like to say, if you're interested, it is available on iTunes and CD, baby. So just if you're computer literate out there, you just have to search Jesse Kristen, and hopefully you can find yourself a copy too.